Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome back to the Sunday Spin. A kind of brisk morning to start Super Bowl Sunday out there, just out on the WGN Storm Center patio. Some breezes blowing in from the northwest, but a bright, sunny morning here on Michigan Avenue, here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower. You know, last week brought us a lot of talk out of the president's office. He had a convening of African-American supporters, and they included a Cleveland pastor named Daryl Scott, who brought up the issue of Chicago violence.
I was recently contacted by some of the top gang thugs in Chicago for a sit-down.
Scott told President Trump gangs would curb gun violence in exchange for added social programs.
They reached out to me because they associated me with you. They respect you. They believe in what you're doing. And they want to have a sit down about lowering that body count. These are guys straight from the streets, no politicians, straight street guys. But they're going to commit that if they lower that body count, we'll come in and we'll do some social programs.
By afternoon, Scott reversed himself in this phone interview.
Listen, I only had 3 hours sleep at the time. I meant to say former street thugs. Former.
Still, Scott says he and other African-American leaders will soon travel to Chicago to offer assistance. Southside pastor Father Michael Flager, who's battled Chicago gun violence for decades, blasted Reverend Scott.
Well, we've been fighting this thing for years. Where has this pastor been, and why hasn't anybody heard about him?
President Trump seized on Reverend Scott's remarks and, as he so often does, threatened to step in.
If they're not going to solve the problem and what you're doing is the right thing, then we're going to solve the problem for them.
That's WGN's Tamon Bradley's report. And you know, first Scott says he didn't speak to current gang thugs, but just a former gang leader. And then later he said, well, it was a couple of former gang leaders. Kind of a very interesting display of events. Number of Chicago anti-violence leaders saying that the president's commitment for 20 additional ATF agents doesn't really help get into some of the root causes of violence here in the city. Well, joining me now on the phone is Todd Meich. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. And Todd, thanks for joining me this morning.
Great to be with you this morning. Thanks, Rick.
And I'm glad to have you here because obviously we have the Illinois legislature coming back into session this week. Growing talk about the fate of what some have dubbed the, quote, grand bargain, unquote. Some have dubbed. I'm not so sure I'd go there yet. But certainly this evolving kind of compromise package that the Senate President, Democrat John Cullerton, Republican leader Christine Redonio have been working on. And I know in the past there were hearings on, as I said, the still evolving package. But the chamber has been pretty outspoken in opposition to the entire package. Maybe you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, first of all, I'd say we give an awful lot of credit to Leader Redonio and President Cullerton for getting together and trying to move the ball forward. We recognize that you've got to have discussions in order to reach a final resolution to this problem. However, at the same time, we've got to be able to tell our members and the public what's really on paper at this point in time. So the Senate introduced 13 pieces of legislation on the first day of the new General Assembly, and the problem is that those 13 pieces of legislation, they're all linked, they are all one package, and it's a net negative for the Illinois economy the way it exists right now. We're in discussions to try and improve that. I think you'll see a better product come out even this week, but as it stands right now, those 13 bills are a net negative for the Illinois economy, for Illinois employers, and we're opposed as they're written now.
Well, Todd, when I was down there for the governor's State of the State message, and this was kind of simultaneous with the Senate kind of doing a lot of hurrying up and waiting activity, as is so often the case on major legislation. But it seemed apparent, at least from the Senate Republican rank and file, that there was a concern that business wasn't getting enough in return for what they were being asked.
I would say that that's a big part of our calculus in opposing the package as it exists right now. Right now, you're talking about upward of $6 billion in higher taxes, both on individuals and on businesses, and particularly onerous taxes that we just think weren't, you know, perhaps thoroughly vetted before they were included. Literally, there is a tax on jobs included in the package now. There's a new tax on services. We think that those are really problematic. And at the end of the day, again, we give Cullerton and Redonio a lot of credit for moving the ball, but the changes to our jobs climate in Illinois are not strong enough. Workers' comp is, I think everybody knows, at the top of the list of things we'd like to see and gets an awful lot of attention. The bill as it exists now is simply not a real cost savings to businesses. And then there are other things that we'd like to see, such as assistance to small businesses, recognizing that they create the majority of jobs in Illinois and in the nation, and we ought to do something to nurture their growth. We'd like to see that in a package, too.
Todd, maybe you could explain that tax that's being talked about as far as jobs. And I don't know who came up with the idea of naming it an opportunity tax. I'm not so sure that those two words go together in the same sentence. But maybe you could explain what that tax is and why you're opposed.
Yeah, I think everybody recognizes that was an unfortunate oversight on somebody's standpoint to call a tax on jobs an opportunity tax. So really what it is a flat kind of fee that grows if you get larger. But when you look at the tax, and we've analyzed it, if you have $3 million of sales, and again, it's pretty easy to get to $3 million in sales, you pay 75% of the overall tax. So businesses that have $3 million in sales and less are paying 75% of a three-quarters of a billion-dollar tab. We think that that is just absolutely the wrong policy. I think we're making real headway in convincing members on both sides of the aisle that that was an idea, but an idea that should be quickly shelved. And I'm hoping that we'll see legislation this week that shelves permanently that idea and it goes away.
Well, it's my understanding that this was kind of a trade-off in exchange for getting rid of what's known as the franchise tax.
We have heard that as well. We were not in the room when that discussion was taking place, but I will tell you that, yes, we've heard that connection as well. And again, the real problem here is that you've got a package that is also, not only is it gigantic in its size, it's completely out of balance when it comes to benefits for to small businesses. Franchise tax is a complicated tax, but it's a tax that large corporations pay. Small, medium-sized businesses largely do not pay that tax. So if you're getting rid of the franchise tax, which we think should go away, it's antiquated and it should be shelved. But the problem is you're paying for that revenue by taxing small, medium-sized businesses who get no savings from repeal of the franchise tax. Again, we've just missed the target there badly, and that needs to be corrected.
Todd, is this? Let's just step back away from this. And as you start out by saying, you know, it's 13 pieces of legislation, everything from raising the Illinois income tax to dealing with changes in workers' compensation. Each bill is linked. Every bill has to pass, or they all fail. Is this just too much, too quick, too soon, and too big to be able to be accomplished in a thoughtful way?
I will tell you that we have shared our opinion that they, you know, it's a difficult problem, or else we wouldn't have been going 2 years without a budget. So again, Leader Redonio and her caucus, and Senator Cullerton and her.
It's good that they're talking.
Good that they're talking. It really is. But at the same time, we've got to respond to what is in front of us. And we have shared our position that, you know what, 13 bills sounds like an awful lot of things to get done. Now, there are arguments for doing so. There's a reason for each one of those 13 bills to be on the table. There's something that the governor has asked for. There are priorities in one caucus or another. But we have suggested that, you know what, 13 bills is an awful lot to try and get done. It really ought to be four or five. and zero in on the most important things, get some pro-growth ideas out there, restrain spending to a sustainable level, and then we can talk about revenues that we can hopefully maintain in a stable way for years to come.
You know, Todd, you've been around this process a long time like I have, and one of the things that I think is a difficult, I mean, there's several difficult political votes involved in this calculus, but to cast a vote for any kind of a tax increase or new tax on business and not have any kind of a budget bill that you can also hold up and say, yeah, we did this, but here's where we cut spending. It's, you know, it's like the cuts are yet to be determined, and you know, that's the bet that no one can see. And it seems very hard to be able to cast, you know, a vote to raise taxes and then not be able to show some kind of concurrent cut in spending.
I would concur. I will tell you over the last few days that I talked to members on both sides of the aisle, that is increasingly becoming the number one issue. Yes, there is a discussion about revenues, but there doesn't seem to be a balanced approach to spending. So I will tell you, though, that there are thoughtful people who are really trying to strategize on that issue, that want to have spending restraints, and they do have a plan for a spending cap. The problem is nobody really knows exactly how that's going to work, where that cap comes into play. It seems to be very high, baking in current levels of spending that are not sustainable. So, again, there are thoughtful people that are really trying their best to address the spending side. It doesn't seem to be baked to me at this point, though.
We're speaking with Todd Meisch. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson, and this is your Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. And joining me on the phone is Todd Meisch. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. And we've been talking about the efforts by Republicans and Democrats in the Illinois State Senate to end the now 19-month budget impasse in Springfield with a large, large compromise package of legislation. And the chamber, as it stands, is opposed to that package as it exists. It's still evolving. And when lawmakers come back to Springfield later this week, I'm sure we're going to see several new iterations. Todd, one of the other things I wondered, too, in the past when we've kind of seen a major tax legislation, we've also traditionally coupled that with a capital bill, a public improvements bill, something we haven't had in a while. Obviously, I think everybody agrees about the need to keep, maintain, and build new infrastructure in this state. And there again, that's one of those where you have lawmakers that can say, okay, I cast the politically difficult vote to raise taxes, but you know, here's one of those projects that I can point to, a new overpass or something, just to say, you know, at least we're getting some bang for our buck.
Yeah, I do think that that is one big, again, error of omission here. We're not talking about capital right now. I do believe there's strong consensus from the governor and all four caucuses that we really, really need a capital and transportation investment bill. The difference of opinion has been whether it's too difficult to get it done at the same time as a budget resolution. I would contend that currently in the Senate, envisioned as a solution to the budget problem, but also we're going to change education funding. I'm saying if you think you can do a very intractable solution to the budget, and you think you're going to do education funding, which has vexed policymakers for more than 20 years.
Keep going. How about 30?
Yeah. So we think that that is a piece that is missing, and we are hopeful that the political calculus of decision makers comes around to see that, you know what, a capital vote makes it easier to solve the budget rather than more complex.
I mean, it's part of moving the state forward.
Yeah, I mean, infrastructure is so important to Illinois. It's important to every state, but probably no more Illinois is more important than perhaps any other state in the nation when you look at our assets and our location. And the things that are succeeding in our economy are so heavily weighted towards parts of the economy that are infrastructure and transportation dependent. It's a no-brainer in my mind that we've got to go ahead and get infrastructure on the top line of things to do along with a budget resolution.
Todd, we've talked a lot about revenue taxation issues, that kind of thing. But, I mean, there's certainly a number of wants as far as business changes that are part of this package as well, probably none more so than workers' compensation. Is that still an evolving topic?
It is still evolving. We're having discussions, again, with all sorts of legislators about what those changes should be. We've always said that, you know what, all we're looking to do is get Illinois back in the mainstream of workers' compensation costs. We don't need to be the cheapest system in the nation, but we need to be in the middle of the pack. And we've got some very reasonable proposals, we think, that just get us from being a cost outlier to businesses to being one that's being a state that's in the middle of the pack. The biggest thing that gets an awful lot of talk about is, you know, what is the threshold for determining whether an injury has really happened in the workplace or it just happened over the natural course of life or outside the workplace. We think that's the single biggest change you can make is say that, you know what, if the workplace contributes even 1% to somebody's injury, it's automatically a workers' comp case, and that workers' comp case is very, very expensive in Illinois, and we think that's the most important thing to get done. We'll see if that argument carries the day.
That's the term causation that gets thrown around.
Causation, to be honest, that term's a little bruised, I guess. So we prefer to say, what's the threshold for determining whether a injury happened in the workplace or did not happen in the workplace? It's the same issue.
What are you hearing from lawmakers over in the House chamber about what the Senate's doing? Because again, you know, here another hurdle is, how willing are senators on either side to vote for something if whatever they might do never sees the light of day in the House?
That's a great point. That is a great point. We recognize and support the effort to try and get the ball rolling in the Senate. There are no guarantees that whatever the Senate comes up with is going to ever see the light of day in the House. So that is a real concern, and it makes an incredibly complex issue, even more so, both on policy and the politics side. I think that the House has been pretty quiet.
Very quiet.
I think that that is not a positive if you're looking for a quick resolution, in my opinion.
The governor came to the Chicago Tribune editorial board last week and talked about his upcoming state budget address, and basically alluded to the fact that it's going to be the same format that he presented last year that was rejected by the Democratic legislature of either, you know, work with me and fashion out a budget or give me the authority, even further authority than he has, to just go ahead and make cuts. So, I mean, it seems like we might have a glint of progress on one side of this equation, but we're kind of back to square one on the other side on as far as spending.
Yeah, I don't know. The governor doesn't have a lot of good options. At this point in time, I think he is correctly encouraging discussions in the Senate, and that's, I think, a very appropriate and right thing to do. I do think that he deserves some credit, though, for standing up and saying, if the legislature cannot come to the table and fashion a solution with me, then give me the authority to get this done myself. I think that is a message that voters get, and that's one where I think the Democrats in the legislature have a little exposure, which is hey, if you're not going to get the job done, you've got a governor stepping up saying, I'll get it done for us all. And if you don't give him that opportunity, you're taking him up on that offer. That's a little more political exposure than I think a lot of Democratic legislators would expect.
So in the end, how optimistic are you that we're going to get anywhere before the 2018 election?
Well, I don't want to say anything that's that undercuts what everybody wants, which is a comprehensive solution. Again, from the chamber standpoint, it means pro-growth policies, it means spending restraints, and then a discussion about appropriate levels of revenue. So we don't want to undercut that. But I will tell you that over the last 23 years I've been around, betting on something a little less than optimal is usually a pretty safe bet. So we're not going to go back to the point where we have no budget for months and months on end. Certainly we don't have one now. There will be some kind of resolution. I think we all hope for a comprehensive solution. But if it's short of that, I would not be surprised.
Do you think that the possibility of state workers not getting paid might be a motivating factor?
That is certainly a potential game changer. And I will be honest, I can't tell you which party is going to be more upended by that state of affairs, if indeed it does happen. It is not a foregone conclusion, I understand. There are legal remedies that the governor is going to pursue. There are political remedies that people are going to pursue as well. So I'm not going on the assumption that's a foregone conclusion that state workers aren't going to be paid after the 28th. I think it may be drawn out, or the judge can always just tell the attorney general that thanks for your opinion, but I disagree, and the current state of affairs continues. The strike vote I'm more interested in, AFSCME is currently going to ballot. We will see if they are going to muster a majority that allows a strike vote or allows a strike. That's, I think, more immediate and more interesting to me as we speak today.
And more political ramifications involved in that.
Yes, no doubt about it. I think that that is, I believe that the state is well prepared to handle a strike. I don't want to insert myself too much. The chamber is probably not the best organization to help facilitate that discussion, to be honest. But I'll be very fascinated to watch the outcome of that vote and what happens next.
Todd, one last thing I wanted to ask you about. I know that you are part of the Illinois Business Immigration Coalition, and Rebecca Shee, the executive director, will be joining the show later. But I'm just wondering about, in light of all of this recent flurry of activity involving the president's executive order and what we saw a week ago in the airports, now it's in the courts. But just about, this doesn't get us anywhere closer to any kind of comprehensive immigration reform that, you know, everybody was optimistic about 3 years ago.
Yeah, I do think it's certainly problematic. There are elements that, I think the business community would actually support, making sure that we've got safe borders and we know who's coming in. But the notion you had people stranded at airports and important employees not being able to get back to their jobs, that was clearly implemented very, very poorly and was not well thought out. So we certainly hope that those issues get addressed. But in terms of whether it pushes things forward or not, I think in a almost perverse way, it does make the case that this piecemeal and kind of reactive approach to immigration does not work well at all, and that we've got to get back to having a comprehensive approach to it. That's what we are for at the chamber, with a lot of like-minded employers. Immigration is incredibly important to the Illinois economy. We'll just have to see. We're working hard with individual legislators to win them over to a comprehensive approach, and I'm cautiously optimistic. Rebecca does great work at IBIC, and she's well-positioned to, help us, Illinois, be a leader for comprehensive immigration reform.
That's Todd Meisch. He's president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. Todd, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning.
No, it was great. I enjoyed it very much.
You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.